Broadcasting live from the KHMB studios in downtown Half Moon Bay. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. The Coastside's own live call-in talk radio show. From Pescadero to Pacifica and beyond. This is the place for Coastside issues, hot topics, and you. And now, the host of Coastal Windage, Mr. Ruben Truthmaker, and his co-host, Crystalyn.
All righty, Coastsiders, good morning. It's Friday, September 26th, 2025. Time for some Coastal Windage. This is Ruben Truthmaker. No Crystalyn this morning. Crystalyn is a hot commodity. She's doing everything, everywhere, all the time because she's so good and she's in high demand. And so I believe she's giving a speech or a presentation at some fancy breakfast meeting somewhere. I don't know. These are circles that I'm not allowed to fly in. So, but Crystalyn does. And so she's not here this week. She'll be back next week, though. Don't worry. I know there was a collective sigh that we heard out there. Don't worry. She'll be back. So here we go again. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. That's right. The Coastside's very own live call and talk radio show every Friday morning. But you know that already. So let's get moving because we really have way too much content for 60 minutes. So let's see how much we can get through. Okay, today's topics. Big waves, yes, that's very cool. And flying cars. Wah, wah. Big waves and flying cars. El Granada Community Park. Yet? Not yet, Frank. Not yet. And in the back half of the show, our Shooting the Breeze live interview with Carlos Alcantar Acosta, founder of the Foggy Clothing brand. So I don't know if you're aware of this, Coastsiders, but the Coastside is not a vortex. I mean, that sounds negative. It's a nexus. Like, with the creativity out here is off the charts, and Carlos is an example of that. And we'll get into his brand and his story in the back half of the show. Can't wait to get into that. In the meantime, if you have something on your mind, that's why you're listening to this show. To fill your mind with incredible ideas and thoughts and facts. You notice how facts was at the trail end of that serial list. But okay, facts, yes, are in there. Give us a call. 650-560-9851. You can send an email to coastalwindage@gmail.com if you so choose. But there's a call-in show. It's not an email-in show, although we do take emails. And I also want to point out, per a segment that will come later in the show, this show, and myself personally, we do not do social media. Yes, I believe one of the interns posts on Nextdoor. So, yes, I guess that is a social media application. But we don't do Twitter. Yes, I'm calling it Twitter. It's Twitter. I'm not going to call it the other thing. We don't do Twitter. We don't do Facebook. Yes, I'm calling it Facebook. Meta. No, I'm not calling it Meta. We don't do Facebook. We don't do Twitter. We do not do TikTok. Well, Frank loves TikTok, but we don't do Frick Talk either. That's not allowed by the FCC rules, so we don't do that. All right. Anyways, so give us a call. That's what I'm saying. Give us a call. That's our modality that we prefer here. 650-560-9851. Okay, let's get to the air quality report. As you know, we are the only station, the only program on the only station in the history of radio, in the history of the world, ever to do a live air quality report. So here we go. Remember the scale, 0 to 50. 0 to 50 is incredible. 51 to 100 is good. And over 100, not good. So today in El Granada, you know, we're usually in the teens, which is very exciting. Today in El Granada, it's an odd 39. which is still, it's still in the incredible range, right? 0 to 50 is incredible. But 39, we're used to teens. So 39, it's incredible. 46 and a half Moon Bay, 62 in Redwood City. So in general, though still very good, the air quality today here on the peninsula, not as good as usual. Today in 43, in Santa Cruz, 43. And on Bainbridge Island, Washington, again, the anomalous location for the air quality report is a little bit of an Easter egg for listeners. Why Bainbridge Island? Well, listen to the rest of the show and see if you can figure out. If you do, call in 650-560-9851 for some coastal windage bucks. It's an actual thing that has some actual value. So today in Bainbridge Island, Washington, it's 25. So good for Bainbridge Island. They're the winners today in our air quality championship. All right, and Carlos is here. He's it. I looked out in the parking lot before the show to see if he was coming in. I did see like a stretch limo out there, and I will admit our parking lot is not set up for stretch limos. I've been asking for a circular driveway for the studio for a long time. But stretch limo, so it took Carlos a while for his driver to get in here and all set up. Carlos, how are you doing this morning?
Hey, Chris, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me and hosting me here, man.
No problem. Okay, so we have got a full half hour set up for you in the back half of the show, but in the meantime, guess what? You are my co-host for the first half of the show.
Amazing.
So, yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, nice to hear, yeah.
That's the first time anybody's ever said that, so I appreciate that. Cheers.
Cheers.
So just be ready, because I might throw you an odd question between now and the back half of the show. Okay, but thank you for coming.
Yeah, of course, my pleasure, and thank you for having me.
No problem. Okay. Folks, we mentioned last week the ribbon cutting for the Cunha soccer field. It's been newly refurbished with a new turf field, as well as some other amenities. It's an amazing collaboration between Boys and Girls Club and CUSD, Cabrillo Unified School District. I just want to say a little bit more about that project because we got kind of clipped at the end of the show. That partnership, that project, cost $3 million. Okay, the cost for the project were split between the Boys and Girls Club and Cabrillo. Carlos, you grew up here, right?
Yes. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Are you a Cunha guy?
Yes, I am. I went to Cunha Middle School.
Nice.
Yeah.
What elementary school did you go to?
I went to Hatch Elementary School.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So that's the kind of the main, I think, track for most people here on the coastside: Hatch, Cunha, Half Moon Bay High.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Well, listeners of the show know that I love Cunha. I feel like it's the best place here on the coastside. I like to coach there, and so I'm really happy to see that soccer complex got refurbished, because in addition to Cunha kids using it, anybody who plays soccer on the coastside uses it, and people just come and drop in to kick the ball around and hang out there. Like, it's a community resource. When you were at Cunha, did you play sports there?
Yeah, I did play, but it was just mainly like with friends and whatnot. Yeah, but I do remember like playing at the field, and when I was there, they actually had recently placed a new turf in there.
Right.
So it was nice to experience it all. But over the years, you know, it was worn and torn, and there was a lot of potholes, and people were like tripping and stuff like that. But I'm so glad that they're like replacing it.
So Carlos, you're a young man compared to Frank and I here, but you remember, obviously, before when it was grass and it was lumpy. And
oh, yeah.
They called it the ankle breaker.
Oh, yeah, man. I remember when we had to run for PE class, and I remember sometimes it was raining or sometimes it was sunny, but even when it was sunny or raining, there was a lot of potholes, and it was just really tough to run around, but we had to do it, you know.
I mean, that's what they make you do in PE, right? Stuff like that. But, okay, so it's been refurbished. That was $3 million. The size of the field is massive. It's 173,000 square feet. So it took a few months, but it's been replaced. So that project's done. Now CUSD and Boys and Girls Club are all working on replacing the turf at the baseball field at the high school. So that's another project that these two organizations are partnering on, and that will be an additional X million dollars. So These are major projects, and thank goodness for these two organizations for getting them done. This turf, so the turf that you were mentioning, so it was lumpy, dangerous grass. Then it was kind of what I call like second generation AstroTurf, which is first generation AstroTurf is just like literally like this thin strip of stuff that maybe, you know, you would have as a doormat in your house,
right,
or outside your house, over cement. That was generation one of AstroTurf, and that was just brutal in horrible old-time stadiums like Veterans Stadium or Three Rivers Stadium in Pittsburgh. Then there's second generation, which has the fill and a little spongier. But this is third generation turf, which is the blades are made with a bio-organic component, includes soy. The infill is a bio-based cork product, so it's not those black petrochemical pellets, right, that you bring home in your shoes and your cleats, and they're all over the bottom of your car and everything.
Right.
They're cork pellets, so they're safer and healthier. So, and it's got some super high-tech attachment system in the bottom that makes it cooler and grippier. Okay, so that's going in at the high school as well. And I also want to announce that the Boys and Girls Club is working with the Cabrillo Unified School District to make one of the Cunha tennis courts. There's three tennis courts on the Cunha campus. And they're looking to make court one, which is the westernmost court, closest to the event center, open for pickleball players 7 days a week. And you would think, like, well, this is not that difficult of a thing. It is difficult because it's on the Cunha campus. So,
right,
you know, there's the whole safety of kids issue and who's allowed on campus. And so currently court one is locked except for noon to two on Sundays. And this court is actually separated from the rest of Cunha campus by locked gates and fences. And it has its own separate entrance from Kelly Street as if it was designed to be open to the public. A 2017 memo or memorandum of understanding between CUSD and the Boys and Girls Club states that this court is for public use. Previous to COVID, it was open and available, but during COVID, a lock was installed on the gate, and a permit and code to unlock the gate was required for use. Over time, the permitting website and the system was not maintained, and the use of the court was lost, except from noon to two on Sundays, because the city has an open gym at the event center, and so they're able to unlock that court. But pickleball players and other people would like to see that court open more than just 2 hours a week. So this past week, Mark Newton, the executive director of Boys and Girls Club, met with Jennifer Marsh, who I'm sorry I don't have Jennifer's exact title, operations manager or director with CUSD, to work out details for opening this court up. And they were able to work it out. So starting today, here's the big announcement. Where's our Frank? Where's the trumpets? Did I not submit the memo asking for the three trumpet players? We need the, like, with not just the regular trumpets, but the long ones that have like the flags hanging down from them that are like, that's what I'm saying.
There you go.
They're like those kind of trumpets, right? Okay, because this is a major announcement here. Starting today, court one will be open from 8 a.m. to dusk on Saturdays and Sundays, and 3:30 p.m. to dusk on weekdays. So that's a lot more hours. Now, that court currently is striped for one tennis court and or one pickleball court. Okay, but there's bigger plans afoot. Boys and Girls Club is working with the local pickleball community and the Cabrillo Unified School District to refurbish court one. Complete resurfacing. Right now, there's like volleyball and basketball lines and tennis lines, and they never use it for volleyball or basketball, so they would completely resurface it, get rid of the basketball and volleyball lines, have new striping for one tennis court and four pickleball courts. Yes, with movable pickleball nets, so if somebody wants to play tennis, you can move those nets to the side. They have wheels on them. Benches, hooks for equipment bags, zero visibility windscreen, so you can't... That court one, you cannot get to the rest of the Cunha campus. There's locked gates and fences, and with zero visibility windscreens, you won't be able to even see the campus. Long term, the vision is possibly restriping the other two courts for pickleball, expanded hours, and opening up pickleball for Cunha PE and after school sports, maybe a team that plays in the Art David League, and way down the road, possible fundraising tournaments and clinics. So thank you to the Boys and Girls Club and Cabrillo Unified School District for making these public recreational resources available. I read in your bio, this is why I love having the guest in here early, because we bring in interesting people that are doing incredible things. So I read your bio, your press release, and I was going to ask you, did you play a sport growing up? I know that you did from your bio, apparently. Yeah. Football. And yeah, it didn't go so well.
The funny story is that I did play football in high school. And I never really got injured. I only got my middle finger dislocated. So it looks, if you see, it looks really funny.
Oh, like, yeah.
Looking, you know,
wow,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. So nice. Most people can't do that. But ironically, I actually, I tore my ACL, my PCL, and my meniscus. And this wasn't even during high school time. It was actually, a few years later on, playing a pickup game with my friends.
Oh.
And the crazy story is that it happened during Thanksgiving. So that was something I was very thankful for.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so it was very painful.
Okay, so you did, but you played on the high school team?
Yeah, I played with the high school team,
nice.
Yeah. So, it was a nice experience. A lot of coaching happening from, Coach Holden, Coach D, everyone rest in peace, and many other coaches. They really showed me discipline and consistency, which was amazing.
I mean, there's a lot to be gained from the structure and the discipline required for football.
Right.
What position did you play?
I played during my first 2 years, I played linebacker, and I played tight end as well.
Okay.
The remaining years, like juniors and senior year.
Catch any touchdown passes?
No, unfortunately not. There was a close one, but no. I love tackling people down, so, that was something that I was mainly like in defense, special teams, and whatnot.
Nice, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, flying cars and big waves. Okay, let's start with big waves on this one. On our December 27th, 2024 show, we talked about the humongous slabs that were crashing down on Mavericks, those being waves, and the crazy, crazy folks out there surfing them, riding them. Are you a surfer, Carlos?
Not a professional surfer, no. But I have, and it's fun, but very hard to catch a wave.
That's have you been sure. out? Have you ever surfed out at Mavericks?
Oh no, I can never. Like no, I would just get demolished out there. But kudos to the ones that do; they're very brave for that.
Oh my gosh, beyond that, yes, crazy. There's brave, and then beyond brave, like way in the distance is crazy, and like that's what we're talking about with
right.
with Mavericks. So. Back in December last year, on one of those rides, one of those crazies, Alessandro Slabir of Santa Cruz, rode one wave so ginormous, it was being considered for the world record for the biggest wave ever ridden. There was rumors that this one wave that he rode was 108 feet tall. 108 feet.
That's insane.
Yeah, which would have been the world's record. And it's kind of like the 4-minute mile. No, but the 100-foot wave is kind of like a mythological figure that surfers are chasing. Who's going to be the first person to ride a 100-foot wave? And so there was talk that this was it,
the
100-foot wave.
Yeah.
Okay, so the World Surf League, which I guess are the arbiters of these records, has spent the last 8 months trying to make this determination. They use photos and videos, and a panel of judges measure the wave's crest to the lowest point or trough of the wave. I don't know. It sounds like a bunch of math to me.
Right.
So
yeah.
my eyes just kind of like, go soft focus. Like, okay, just give me the results. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
Somebody else do the calculations. Like, anyway, they compare the surfer's height and position on the board with the wave measurement to determine how big the wave was. Okay. I mean, 8 months, really? I mean, isn't that what computers are for?
Right,
like,
yeah.
Okay. Anyways, after an 8-month wait, the World Surf League announced their decision earlier this month at the, get ready with that drum roll, at the 2025 Big Wave Challenge Awards in Newport Beach. And?
Drum roll, please.
And? There we go. Okay. A huge wave Apollo Surf on December 23rd, 2024 was not big enough. Only, air quoting that, only.
Air quotes, love it.
76 feet tall.
No way.
I mean, which is big.
It's still, yeah, so it's pretty big. Huge, yeah, yep. Yeah.
But apparently not big enough. According to the Guinness Book of World Records, so not even close to 100 feet.
Wow.
But we put a picture up on the Coastal Windage website, webpage on the KHMB website. If that's only 76 feet, I can't. A 100-foot wave is unimaginable.
Right.
According to the Guinness Book of World Records, the biggest wave ever ridden was 86 feet. Sebastian Studner in 2020 at Nazaré, Portugal. If you've ever seen video of the wave at Nazaré, Portugal.
I saw it. Yeah, it's insane.
I mean, I'm sorry. Mavericks is a different type of wave. More of a mountainous, like, kind of mean-looking wave. That thing at Nazaré is just steep and tall. It's like a skyscraper of straight down. You know, Mavericks has a little bit of a I mean, it's easy for me to say, I'm sure, when you're dropping in and you're free-falling 15 or 20 feet.
Totally different experience.
But that thing in Nazaré is gnarly. Anyways, that took 18 months for the record to be officially confirmed. That's so Sleeper, he took the announcement in stride he said, regardless of the number, it doesn't really matter how big the wave was to me. It was really the biggest wave of my life, and that's all I really care about at the moment. Okay, that's the spirit. That's the spirit. Okay, but also, it may not have been the world's record, but Al is on the map now. He's known, and everybody knows he rode a 76-foot wave, and there's lots of pictures, and that's pretty gnarly. Side note, we talked about these 100-foot waves being like some people are, you know, trying to be the first person. Mm-hmm. It's coming because a 2023 study in the Journal of Geophysical Research. Yeah, I read medical journals and geophysical research journals all the time. That's, you know, what I do for relaxing. Yeah, yeah.
Nice. Per usual.
Yeah, exactly. anyways, according to the Journal of Geophysical Research, the JGR, found that between 1996 and 2016, the number of extreme wave events, which is defined as waves taller than 13 feet, doubled from the period between 1949 and 1969. So there are a lot more and a lot bigger waves. Scientific American reported that these occurrences are due to an increasingly stormy ocean and coincide with an overall acceleration in global warming beginning around 1970. So, okay, there's your, I guess, our political statement for the day. Global warming is making surfing better. Okay, okay. So you got to find the silver light, right?
I mean, you have to, yeah.
Okay. Well, speaking of Aloe, the surfer, right, the 76-foot wave surfer, our good friend Julie Mell from Beach Break Film Festival is also riding high. This year, Beach Break Film Festival is celebrating its fifth year. Can you believe that, folks? 5 years already. She's celebrating the fifth year anniversary with a host of events leading up to the film festival, which occurs every year in the week following Christmas. Tomorrow night at the harbor, there's going to be a big beach break shindig. Be careful saying that fast three times. It could come out weird.
Right.
We've got FCC listening, so be careful with that.
You don't want that.
Shindig part, exactly.
Shindig.
It's kind of a fun word to say.
It is, yeah.
Not after you've been drinking, maybe.
Maybe not, then you're
on the radio, which, of course, we would never on this show. Anyways, tomorrow at the harbor, the evening starts with beginner-friendly line dance lessons from 5:30 to 6:45. Are you a line dance? Have you ever line danced?
No, but I'm open to it.
Are you? Okay.
Yeah, we can dance a little, you know.
Hey, take some gear. Go to Harbor tomorrow. 5:30 to 6:45 is the lessons. If you already know how to do it, there's line dancing going on from 5:30 to 7:15. Beginner friendly, no partner or experience needed. There's a $10 charge for dancers. It was free for spectators. That's a little weird also. I don't know if I really want to go and watch.
Dance watching?
Yeah, people line dance. It seems like I would want to do it. But $10 because there's going to be a DJ, surf-inspired songs for extra fun. And then after the line dancing, that's just the opening salvo. After the line dancing, outdoor movies from 7:30 to 10. Brought to you by Beach Break Entertainment. And the two movies that they're going to be showing are Ride of a Lifetime, which is a short film by Emmy Award-winning producer Stephen Lawrence, featuring, surfer Alo Slibir. And I know I'm butchering his last name. I butcher my own name. I call myself Reuben about half the time instead of Reuben. That's fine. So I'm sorry, Alo. I'll just call you Alo from now on. And that's probably not even right. But I'm doing my best. Anyways, he'll be there. And so will Steve Lawrence, who's the producer and Alo's the star of this short movie, Ride of a Lifetime. So they will be there tomorrow night at the Harbor. Food and drinks will be available from Pelagic Fish Market and Grill. And then after the short movie, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest will be shown. So it sounds like a really fun night at the Harbor. And we're almost coming up to our break. Let me see if I can get this one in, Frank, okay? Get the rant in. Then I'll have the interns dob me. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back for the back half of the show. Flying cars. We live, I don't know if you're aware of this, Carlos, because you're young, but we live under the sway of two powerful cults in this country, the cults of celebrity and technology. Per the second half of that, my internet was out last Friday for most of the day. So was the entire coastline. And it was out intermittently on Wednesday. How is this happening? We live 15 miles from Silicon Valley in 2025. This is why I can't stand digital technology as peddled by Silicon Valley high-tech companies, because it's just about releasing their products and brand name and money and getting out a bunch of new features that nobody wants or asks for. I desire no new features. The iPhone, they don't have to do one more thing. In fact, reverse it back out to like iPhone 12 or something. Okay.
Simplify it.
Yes. Thank you. There's just too much junk. I don't want any new features. I don't need dynamic caching, mesh shading, and ray tracing as fancy new features on the pair of smart toenail clippers that they're trying to sell me when I just want to like clip my toenails. Okay. I don't need all that stuff. This is what I want. Internet, cell phones, and basic applications that handle their core functions perfectly 100% of the time. Why don't you work on nailing those down, companies, instead of putting out a bunch of like ridiculous features that nobody ever uses and that are so complicated now to use that you have to have like 15 keystrokes or taps in order to get anything to work now. Okay, that's just all a prelude to this. A flying car company, yes, flying cars, is testing out their ridiculously unnecessary product at the HMB airport starting now. As you recall, back in 2022, two companies, Mighty Fly and Zipline, started testing 500-pound delivery drones at the airport. You can hear about that on our October 22nd, 2021 Coastal Windage episode. They were, quote, developing the future of logistics, freeing the flow of goods from flat 2D constraints into using the open 3D airspace all around us. Right there. I don't want you using the open 3D airspace all around us. Do you want 500-pound flying drones and cars flying all around? Like right now when you look out, you see some birds and maybe some clouds and whatever. I don't want to see cars and drones flying around out there. But now, Aleph, a San Mateo-based tech company, is testing their flying cars at both the Half Moon Bay and Hollister airports. According to Aleph, hold on, this has to be said breathlessly as if like this is some greatest thing that ever happened in human history. Hold on, Frank.
Take a deep breath.
Yeah, according to one. This marks the first time ever that cars and aircraft share the same operational space, as well as the first time in history that an airport is the grounds for the vertical takeoff of a car. Oh, my goodness. Ah. Also, according to the article, these two airports could end up serving as the future base for Aleph's fleet of flying cars. Oh, lucky us. Again, I ask, why? Why? Do you really want cars adding to the visual pollution of our skies? Not to mention traffic and safety hazards. Have you ever seen the movie Blade Runner?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so it's a cool movie, right? Science fiction. In the movie, in the city of Los Angeles, flying stuff is going all over the place. It's cool, right? But that's a movie, all right? And that was already kind of like dystopian, post-apocalyptic, like kind of negative future. So I don't really feel like that's what we want. Hold that thought because we need to take a break to hear a word from our sponsor.
This is Community Radio for the Coastside.
100.9 KHMB.
KHMB.
Coastal Windage is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Pub in Half Moon Bay. Come for the food, stay for the fun. That's Cameron's Restaurant and Pub on Highway 1 in Half Moon Bay.
Hi, this is Jay Michaels. Make sure to join me along with Stan Warren Luttrell after Coastal Windage. We'll get a look at today in history and a brand new forgotten find. Coming up at 10 a.m. from 100.9 FM KHMB.
Okay, and we're back. And I mean, the interns, they have this long boom, right, which is a big long stick with a like a sponge on the end of it, because I get worked up sometimes and the sweat drips into my eyes and they have to daub me from a distance, right? Because I don't want them getting into my zone here. But they literally had to like wrap a towel around the sponge because I was getting really worked up, and I'm still worked up because flying cars are just the stupidest thing. The stupidest thing. Okay, as I was saying, Blade Runner was cool as a science fiction fantasy, but not in real life. Let's just consider flying cars. Have any laws been proposed or even considered? Is a flight plan required? Can you land anywhere? Can you take off from anywhere? Are there airspace restrictions? Answer, basically no. Flying cars fall under the ultralight classification, so there's no pilot certification required to legally fly the cars. We're supposedly only supposed to fly them during daylight and not over, quote, congested areas, whatever that means. So basically, it's a free-for-all.
Right.
That you don't even have to have a pilot's license. And there's one thing of driving a car with a steering wheel on the ground. Like, flying in a 3D space requires a stick that, you know, like in a video game where you're going up, down, sideways. It's not the same as driving, but no certification is required. So if you can pony up the $300,000 that they're charging for one of these cars and just take off flying. Yeah, I don't see any downside to that at all. No, there's not going to be any problems. And it just gets better. Aleph also promoted the car's ability to circumvent roadblocks. The company has a promotional video of a car, one of their flying cars, driving along the road, coming to an overturned big rig, and not stopping to help out or see if anything's going on, but no, using its flying feature to hop over the truck. Yeah. Okay, I cannot foresee any problems that could arise from this. Americans are such good drivers with terrestrial vehicles. You know, 92 never has an accident, ever.
Yeah.
So allowing people to operate vehicles that can suddenly lift into the air with no roads, traffic lights, laws, or rules of gravity to constrain them is literally a can't-miss idea. Aleph expects to have a... Frank, really? Okay. Flying cars, having accidents, it's a can't-miss idea. That's a rimshot moment there. Let's try that again. So I really can't see anything wrong with this. No roads, traffic lights, or laws of gravity to constrain them is literally a can't-miss idea. There we go. Okay. It's live. So, you know, if we were doing one of these silly podcasts, we would just edit that out and it would be perfectly timed. But this is real. This is live.
Real time.
Stuff happens. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Yep. That happens as well. I know. Like, I'm sorry, Carlos. Frank likes to smoke these humongous stogies in here and it gets pretty... the air gets pretty thick, so
very smoky.
If you got a cough, go ahead and do it as Frank just he does it whenever he feels like it. All right, last thought on this. People, stop. This, you're living in a cult of technology. If you think flying cars are some great idea, you have drunk the Kool-Aid. You're bought into this whole thing. So this technology mirage is just being forced on us. So what does the public have as recourse against the continuous onslaught of high-tech companies and their megalomaniac billionaire owners, yeah, I said it, and shareholders on our personal space and dignity? Do we have... Is that... Oh, that's... Okay. See, when Frank has to explain the sounds, I thought that was like the men in the white coats coming to get me. No, it's apparently me scraping my soapbox, or the interns bringing my soapbox over from the corner, which it's quite an impressive structure, but okay. Yeah, so here I am. I'm on the soapbox now. What is our recourse? We do have recourse. Stop buying into the hype. Folks, it's not 1950, okay? Technology has pretty much done its job. It's not some magical savior bringing visions of an easier, healthier, more satisfying future anymore. We've tapped out. We've crossed the Rubicon, okay? And we are now squarely, technology is now squarely part of the problem. It's no longer solving problems. It's just making money and continuing to global degradation and angst. And specifically, we do not need flying cars. Flying cars are confirmation that we have reached end stage capitalism. Okay? But since we live in a cult of technology in which anything shiny digital involving code is not only good but existential, it's full speed ahead with flying cars and robot dogs. Don't forget robot dogs.
Robot dogs,
right?
Yeah.
Robot dogs. Look at this cute, cool, fun robot dog. Yeah, until the police and military start using them on you. That's what robot dogs are for. Robot dogs are not for people to have pets. Robot dogs are literally going to be used for military and law enforcement application. So they will be used on you. Yes. All right. So, and when that happens, the American public, you have nobody to blame but yourselves. Okay. Slide that. Can you get the soapbox out of the way now? Because I literally can't, now that I'm have stepped off, I can't even see Carlos anymore. It's a huge soapbox, as you just.
It's heavy too.
Sorry, it takes four interns. Okay. That's one of the things we look for when we hire our interns is like, you know, can you push a 200-pound box across the floor by yourself, or do you need help?
It's mandatory, right?
Yeah, it is. That's the, you know,
if not, you're
resume,
not hired.
No.
No,
you don't
resume,
need a resume.
Needed.
Just can you work out at the gym? Okay, here we go. We've reached the fun, awesome part of the show, our Shooting the Breeze live interview with Carlos Alcantar Acosta, founder of the Foggy Clothing brand. Good morning. Hello. Carlos, you already been here as my co-host for a half an hour.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
No, it's great having you in here. Yeah, I might have to call you anytime Crystalline can't make it. You're killing it here. Okay, so on September 6th. You're the star here. Like, really, people know when I have guests in here that do amazing things like you've done, I'm just in awe of them because the amount of creativity and effort it takes to not only conceive of products and a brand and logos and designs,
right,
but to then have the courage to start a business, amazing. We'll get to that in just a second, but I want to let people know. So on September 6th,
right,
you launched your new brand, Foggy Clothing, with a huge, apparently there was, accounts differ, but hundreds to thousands of people there at the ribbon cutting ceremony at your brick and mortar storefront in the Liberty Building, which is that blue and yellow building on Portillo Avenue next to
correct
the post office,
yeah,
in downtown El Granada.
Yes, sir. Yes,
so,
sir.
So you're like one of these people on, you know, a reality show. You're the designer. Do you feel like a celebrity?
Some days I do, some days I don't, you know. I just try to be humble a little bit, but, you know, it's a great experience. You know, September 6th was, something that, you could say is, one for the books, right? I think that, it was an amazing event. It was a great turnout, something that it was pretty much unexpected, you know. I was pretty much planning everything, talking to vendors, because I also didn't want to make it about myself. I wanted to make it about the community, right? I wanted to create something where, yes, of course, I want people to come to the grand opening, check out the shop, but at the same time, I want other small businesses such as myself to also be involved, because I also want to create a community hub where people feel involved, wanted, and are exposed to Half Moon Bay in El Granada as well.
Yeah, I mean, you got a nice spot there in downtown, right in the beating heart of El Granada there. So
yes, sir.
You got beach traffic. You got people coming to mom's house.
Your
right?
mom's house, yeah, they're amazing. Yes, sir.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the business first, and then I want to talk about your designs and your lines.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you've obviously got ambition and creative skills, but why? What was the impetus? Why did you decide to start a clothing company?
Yeah, so the reason why I wanted to start something, actually, you know, kind of going back to my injury. So I got injured around 2019, and so then I was out for, including surgeries and physical therapy, I was out for about a year. And so that's a long time to be out, not working, and to ponder about life, you know. And so most of the time I was just in bed and thinking like, hey, well, what do I really want to do with my life, right? What is it that I want people to remember me? Because life is never promised. You know, tomorrow is never promised. You never know, anything can happen. And we're, you know, knocking on wood that everything will go well, but just life, that's how life is. And so then I was thinking to myself, what is it that I want to do for myself? And what impact would I leave if I were to be gone tomorrow? You know, and I kept thinking and thinking. I was like, well, you know, there's not really much to it. Like, I don't think people, of course, people remember me, like, you know, some of my classmates, you know, my family, but like, would I really leave an impact, you know? And so that really made me think, and I wanted to do something more. Yes, I'll do it for myself, but at the same time, it's for also for everyone, you know? It's something where I can express my, my story through fashion. And so, that's how it came about. You know, it came out of desperation. It came out of, a very dark place, and so I harnessed that and I turned it into something positive. And so then I've always been artistic. You know, I was a one kid, like in middle school or like in elementary school. I don't know if you remember, but back then we had those binders with the see-through folder. You can put stuff in there. And I was always the go-to kid where people were like, hey, can you write me my name, you know, make it look cool and stuff like that. And so people were always coming to me like, hey, to design something for them. And so I think that feeling stuck to me. And so and now I get the same feeling when I create clothing, right? Of course, like, I want to make sales and, you know, be successful. But at the same time, my designs always speak something positive. And I always enjoy, you know, driving by Half Moon Bay down the coast and just, you know, just seeing someone wear my hoodie or my shirt, you know, it's like, hey, that's mine, you know, and like people are wearing it. And it's a great feeling, honestly.
So, yeah, I mean, I have no doubt. I have no idea what you're talking about, but I can imagine that's the kind of thing I imagine when I'm driving down the road. Like, God, I wish somebody was listening to the radio show right now, but, you know, whatever. But that's the kind of story that I'm very envious of, because you took something that was a traumatic incident in your life, and rather than dwell on it and let it bring you down, you took it as an opportunity to take that pause and look around and figure out what you wanted to do with your life. So you mentioned that you've been artistic your whole life. Would you say more like graphic design, drawing and sketching, or sewing and creating clothing, or both?
Yeah, I want to say like mainly sketching, and like everything starts with, you know, with the vision or my thoughts. You know, I'm like, I wonder how this would look. And I really think about it, and then once I'm like, you know what, I think that this can be something with great potential, I begin to sketch it out. And then I also design them, like graphic design. And there's sometimes where, you know, I get other friends who help me design as well, and I do some of the stitching myself. But the goal is to expand, the goal is to have different kinds of machines, and you know, but those big machines, they're industrial machines, so they cost a penny, so in due time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Tommy Hilfiger wasn't built in a day, right?
So right.
You get there.
Exactly.
So would you call Foggy Clothing a clothing company or a brand that has like an ethos?
Yeah. Well, obviously, you know, right now I sell clothing, but my ultimate goal is to create a brand with ethos. Yeah. So, my goal is to down the line to expand, right? Right now, like I said, I'm doing clothing, but my goal is to expand, and I'm not sure what it may be. You know, we never know what the future may hold, but I want to have those doors open to expand to whatever it may be. I don't know, it can be shoes, it can be helping other small businesses, but I just want that brand to hold that type of weight where people can automatically recognize it.
Nice, yeah, totally. Okay, so creativity and business are two things that I just, that don't come natural to me, that I don't get. So, okay, so there's the creativity side, the design side, and we're going to get into, you brought some merchandise. We're going to check that out in a couple minutes.
Yes, sir.
Go through all that, but the business side of it, like, okay, so it's one thing to have some ideas, to sketch them out, maybe even make some things in your garage or whatever. Mm-hmm. But how did you take that next step to set up a business? Because this seems to me like, okay, so I'm a kind of a one track mind person. Like, okay, if I'm doing the design stuff, then somebody else, like, here's the design, you go like market it and sell it and stuff, and mm-hmm. just send me the money and I'll make more design. But right. you're doing both. Like, how did you decide, and then how did you start? How do you start a business? How do you even do that?
Yeah, I think it's different for different people, right? Like, for example, people want to do food. That's a different route. So there's more hoops you got to jump over. But at least for clothing, it's not that difficult. It seems like it's difficult, but no, you just really need to, you know, you have your business license to sell your using resale license as well. And so you have to just have the right permits, right? But at the same time, I want to, you know, say that I can do everything. And that's one thing that I realized early on, that there's most of the times that I won't be able to do certain things. And sometimes it takes longer to learn some stuff, right? Especially when it comes down to the business side. So I realized, hey, I can do it all. And so I was seeking help, mentors. Luckily, I was able to find the Renaissance program. I'm not sure if you heard about them. Yep. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so they've been of a great help. The Renaissance program has helped me with, you know, mentorship, business classes. And they also helped me get, like, a partnership with the Montero Credit Union, so they were able to sponsor me, and so stuff like that, right? And so they were actually able to help me with my permits, my licensing, and all that. And so, you know, I didn't do it all myself. I had to put in the work, had to go to meetings, had to talk to other people. But, you know, that's what it took for me to get that assistance. And I also was getting help from the ALAS program. They're the farmer community program. They help farmers. And so I began with them. They were able to help me out, kind of like you know, make my idea more tangible. And so then they actually helped me out with other resources. And that's how I got connected with the Renaissance program.
Wow. Yeah, the Renaissance program, they've got a place here on Main Street, right?
Yes, sir.
Opportunity Center.
Opportunity Center, yeah. Yes.
So,
Event Center.
We, you know, Crystalline, my co-host, is involved with that, and we've talked about that on the show. And so, you would say that that's a, you would recommend that program to other people, such as yourself, who need help with, like, maybe the business side of things.
Oh yeah, I would definitely recommend it, just because, like I said, you know, we can't do everything. We can't do everything ourselves, you know, and it's okay to get help from other people. And that program is very crucial. It's been crucial for me, you know. They helped me out not only with the business side, but also even with my grand opening, you know, and I probably could not do it without them. They were to help me out with promotion, marketing, and just things I had to do for the day of, which is amazing. You know, I would recommend it to anyone who is, you know, who has an idea or who already has a business but is struggling with it. Yeah, I would definitely recommend them 100%.
Oh, recommend. I thought you were going to say recommend a ribbon of cutting. I was going to say, Frank, for season 10 premiere, let's get a big ribbon and a big pair of scissors. Let's do a ribbon cutting. Okay, we'll do a ribbon cutting.
Yeah, that's always fun, though. just cutting the ribbon, it's amazing.
May not translate so well on radio, but maybe we'll have a camera in here by then. Who knows? Okay, so with your brands and your designs, your brand and your design, have you mm-hmm. copyrighted or trademarked those? I mean, you know, is that's another element? These are
yeah.
I just get caught up on the business side of like, oh, so you've formally trademarked or copyrighted your designs?
On some of them, no. And the reason why I haven't is just because I was doing research and I was also told that, you know, if you're going to do it, you know, usually when people do it, it's because they're already like on top, you know. And that's the goal, right? To be well known, be on top. But down the line, yes, that's one of my next steps that I want to do, just because I want to be safe and secure, you know. But I do have rights to the designs themselves, just not copyrighted yet.
Okay. Well, don't let anybody take those away from you. Okay, let's get into the meat and potatoes here.
Okay.
So the kind of merch that you offer, like I've looked at your information.
Mm-hmm.
So hoodies. I mean, who doesn't love a hoodie, right?
Who doesn't?
Also, I've been told, I haven't seen one yet, but I've been told, like, the quality of your materials is top-notch. And I think, especially in the hoodie market,
yeah,
that's what people are looking for, like soft, fluffy, thick
exactly.
hoodies. And I've heard
yeah.
that your hoodies meet that in addition to having the killer designs on them. So hoodies, T-shirts, joggers, crew necks, and
yes,
caps.
Sir.
You have all of these. That's a lot of stuff.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Big investment.
Okay. So do you have investors? Do you have, like, shareholders? Or?
No. I mean, I'm open to it. You know,
okay.
Not yet. Pretty much it's been myself, you know. And I've been, you know, helped with by my family, you know, my friends. But mainly it's just been myself. It's like I've poured my effort, my tears, my money, everything right now. Actually, I'm still working my full-time job right now, and I'm using that to feed the business for now, you know, and then hopefully if I follow the projections that I made, hopefully down the line I would be able to pay myself, so which is amazing.
Yeah, that will be a major moment in your life.
Oh, yeah.
When you walk into your job and say, you know, 2 weeks notice or today, you know what?
Yeah.
Forget 2 weeks notice.
Yeah, that's
bye-bye.
That's another dream of mine too. Yeah, to be sustainable and, you know, be able to pay myself and then hopefully other people too. You know, I want to have people working for me as well.
Yeah, it's going to happen, Carlos. It's going to happen. Okay, so you design you make the designs yourself, and then where is the merchandise actually produced or manufactured, I guess.
Yeah, I have a few places where they do it, but mainly in Los Angeles is where I get them from. Yeah.
And how did you get hooked up with a, you know, manufacturing facility down there?
Not through Renaissance. No, that was actually all me. It was just, you know, through trial and error, honestly, because I've ordered many hoodies from different places, and, you know, sometimes they... It's not what it seems like, and then
yeah,
it takes a while, right? And sometimes you get screwed over by manufacturers, but thankfully, you know, I played my cards right. You know, I was able to find these manufacturers, and it's amazing because they're from LA, you know, and like they're constantly making stuff, you know, and that's where like pretty much, you know, it's where the fashion people, connoisseurs, are at.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so let's look at a few of your signature designs.
Yes, sir.
Okay, one is the bamboo edition.
Oh, yes, sir.
Tell me about the bamboo edition.
Yeah, I think that's one of the, like, fan favorites, and it's one of my favorites as well. Bamboo edition, the reason why I decided to create that was because, obviously, it got inspired by nature, and also... it's something more symbolic, right? So I don't know if you know about bamboo, but it takes about 5 years to grow, at least in the wild. And so within those 5 years, you need enough sunlight, you need enough water, and obviously, you know, there's thunderstorms, things happen along that way. But the reason why I chose that was because, you know, it's something symbolic where, like, sometimes people don't see your hard work and effort, your tears, and it can be done through, you know, a profession, something like a hobby or something like a small business, right? People don't see all the time you put into, all the investments you make, you know, all the tears you shed. And so, but I always tell people that there's always a light at the end of the tunnel, right? There's, you just have to cater to it, nurture it. And it's the same with bamboo. It needs enough sunlight. It needs enough water. But on that fifth year, it begins to sprout 70 feet, 150 feet in the air. And it's just massive.
And you want some of that water was with your tears, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, then you've got, and so yeah, you had mentioned here that it got, the bamboo edition kind of symbolizes resilience.
Resilience, strive.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Then, so another signature design you have is the Veni Vidi Vici.
Yes, sir.
Tell me about that, and how did you come up with that name?
Yeah, and so the reason why I came out with Veni Vidi Vici. Sorry, I'm mispronouncing it. So I came by Saw Conquer, right? It's the translation. Yep. And so the reason why I decided to do that was because I wanted to expand a little bit more with kind of like the gym line, you know. I go to the gym as well. And so that's something that has been something very important to my lifestyle. And so I wanted to create something for gym goers. And so I decided to do that, you know. It represents a strength. Right. And whatever you may be doing, you know, as long as you give it your all, you put all the effort into something, you focus into something, something great will come out of it. Right. And then when you go into the gym or it can be anywhere as well, like wherever you go, whatever you're doing, you have to go. You see where you see the vision. Right. And then you have to conquer it. You conquer whatever it is that your target may be. And so that is the reason why I chose that design.
Nice. Okay, and then other elements that you have, you've got Half Moon Bay's longitudinal coordinates.
Oh yeah, it's just to, you know, to show homage to Half Moon Bay.
Yeah, no, I love that. Again, like that local connection, and
yes, sir.
You know, it's I always love coordinates, anyways. Numbers and things like that are pretty cool. And then you've got your cloud and thunderbolt logo.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Stitched into the apparel products, and so. That cloud and apparel logo, I see you wearing a cap with it right now.
Yes, sir.
You created that.
Yeah, I created that. And funny story, man, it took about a year to finalize it.
Wow.
If you were to see the sketches in the beginning, they look so different, like super wild, right? And then actually one of my brother's friends, she was able to help me out, and she gave me the advice saying, sometimes less is more, right? And so I really had to simplify it, like cut a lot of, like, you know, like tough edges and stuff like that. And so I finalized, this was the final product, you know. I was happy with it. And so the original colors are red, yellow, green, and purple, right? And so obviously colors have many definitions, but for me, I chose specific definitions. Like red represents strength, yellow represents creativity, green represents growth, and purple represents royalty, right? And so when you're wearing the brand, when you're wearing the logos, you're saying that you're strong, you're saying that you're creative, you're declaring that you're growing, you're declaring that you're worthy, right? And so that is why I chose those definitions. And, you know, it's always about spreading positivity.
Okay, wait, Frank, you made me the 1 minute. I can't believe we've already gotten to the 1 minute
mark. Time flies, huh?
Do you have any stickers? Do you have any, like...
I do have some merchandise. I should have brought some stickers, but I do have a hoodie for you and a few hats for, you know...
Oh, Carlos.
For
oh.
The interns over here.
That is so cool. Okay, so people want to... If somebody wants to buy your product, only available at your place in the Liberty Building in El Granada, or can they go online somewhere?
Yeah, so right now... Yeah, you would have to go to the shop at 30 Avenue Portola 1A in El Granada. But my goal is to soon launch my website. So you would be able to launch, and the website would be foggycompany.com. Yeah. And also I am on Instagram, which is foggy_CLO. And you can always order through there. If anyone have questions, they want to DM me, I'm always open. We also have our business line as well.
Carlos, folks, if you are tuning in late, go back and listen to this on the recording from the KHMB website. Carlos Acosta is the real deal.
Yes, okay? Sir. Yes, sir.
He's paid his dues. It's going to be huge.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you, man.
Get ready, right?
Yeah.
Prepare yourself. Prepare your life. The stretch limo is already out there waiting for you. Get ready for it, dude, because it's coming. I hope the best for you. And when you get that online presence and you have an online store, call into the show.
Will do.
We'll have you back on.
Yeah,
Let's talk about this some more.
Yeah, and if I can say something shortly. The goal for it to be a one-stop shop, right? Right now we have clothing. We have hoodies, crew necks, shirts, joggers, hats, and we also sell candles, too. And they're all homemade candles. They're amazing candles. And my goal is to have it accessible for everyone, whether it's in shop or online.
Folks, when you see me out there wearing the foggy clothing gear, ask me about it and be prepared for a half an hour discussion. Okay, Carlos Acosta, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Ruben.
Good luck on the
brand.
Appreciate
you, man.
Really appreciate that. Interns, thank you for the daubing. Crystal will be back next week. Frank, thank you. Everybody, have a great week. Coastal Windage, the dock of the coast.